The Bible reading is on page 849. And it's from 2 Peter, verses 9 to 18. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the constant reminder that we get in it of who you are and what you've done for us, and therefore of who we are and what it looks like to live as your people who belong to you and to you alone. We pray that you would encourage us and rebuke us and correct us and train us in the way we should go as we need to be, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you could raise your hand to indicate to us this morning whether you are a dual citizen. Do you have citizenship in more than one country? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, quite a few of you. Keep them up. And keep them up if you are a member of parliament. Just checking. It's really important to check these days. As anyone who's been paying any attention to what's been going on in our federal parliament over the last couple of months will realise, we're up to 9. The county's up to 9 now, members of parliament and senators who have realised that not only are they dual citizens, but their dual citizenship actually disqualifies them from the role that they've been elected to play. Now, I'm not sure what your attitude has been to all those stories as they've come out one after the other, whether you've just kind of rolled your eyes and thought, what a waste, whether you think the fault is with those people who haven't either been aware or declared their dual citizenship, whether you think it's just a dumb rule, a dumb law, or what it is. But, it is important. I'm sure you're as familiar as section 44.1 of the Australian Constitution as I am, but just in case there's anyone out there that's not, I'll read it to you. Any person who is under any acknowledgement of allegiance, obedience, or adherence to a foreign power, or is a subject or a citizen, or entitled to the rights or privileges of a subject or citizen of a foreign power, shall be incapable of being chosen or of sitting as a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. It's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, there's a bit of a preamble, but it's pretty clear that you cannot be a citizen of two nations and represent the citizens of this good nation, Australia. And I think if you actually, all the pain and headaches and whatever of having to re-elect and all that sort of stuff aside, if you just think about it for a moment, I actually think it's a pretty good law. Because the idea is that those that we choose to represent us as Australians are above reproach when it comes to their loyalties, where their loyalties lie. That they have an uncompromised allegiance to serve those they've been elected to represent. Now, I don't think it's actually a silly law at all. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Now, what we discover when we open up the letter of 1 Peter is that we have all been elected. Did you know that? We have all been elected to represent God's kingdom, to represent him as the ruler of God's kingdom. In fact, if you just flick back to verse 1 of chapter 1, you'll remember that the first word used to identify us as his people is God's elect. We're only elected by one person, but it was God. And his say goes, we've been chosen and set apart to belong to him, to belong to his kingdom, and therefore to represent that kingdom. And in today's passage, in verse 9 at the start there, we read some other identifiers of how we've been set apart. You are a chosen people. We sang this earlier. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. See, we are, those of us who trust in Jesus, are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Did you realize that when you became a citizen of heaven, it meant renouncing any former allegiances that you may have had? No longer citizens of this world. There are no dual citizens in God's kingdom. Just as our elected representatives, if they've been found to have dual citizenship, have been disqualified, neither can we have a foot in both camps, a foot in both worlds. We're either citizens of heaven or citizens of earth, but we can't be both. Now, I wonder if you find that just a little hard to get your head around, that we're citizens of heaven and not citizens of earth. Citizens of heaven where we don't live and where we've never even visited, and not citizens of earth where we've spent all of our lives. It's a little difficult to wrap your head around, isn't it? All the evidence points to us being citizens of earth. But Peter has already reminded us in two ways that, in fact, we don't belong here. We don't belong. Though we may expend lots of effort in trying to belong, it's foolish because we don't belong. We can't and we never will. So back in verse 1 of chapter 1 again, he described us as exiles, people who are in a land not their own, and in today's passages as foreigners. We're like refugees, people who are away from home and longing to get there. He's also said that we are people who have been born again. Remember that language from back in chapter 1. In verse 6, we read that we've been born again into a living hope, and that we have a new birth in verse 23, born again not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Now, when you're born, you don't bring papers with you. It's a new start. And you only belong in that country into which you have been born. Born again means a complete break from our past. And so Peter reinforces this new identity at the start of today's passage, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may sing the anthem of heaven, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He says, once you were not a people, you didn't belong to God or to each other, but now you are the people of God, all built on his mercy, the foundation of his mercy. Once you had not received mercy, but in his mercy and grace he has elected you, chosen you to belong to him, to have allegiance to him. to call him God and Lord and ruler and him alone, because now you have received mercy. So, here we find ourselves living in the world, but no longer belonging to the world. We live on earth as citizens of heaven, as outsiders. And this inevitably creates a tension for us, a real tension as we live in between these two worlds, these two kingdoms, as citizens of one but residents in another. And I imagine that you have felt that tension in all sorts of ways and on all sorts of occasions, whether it's at work or at school, or when you hear your friends talking about the things that interest them and about the opinions that they have in regard to those things, when you hear or read or watch things in the media, you discover that this world has a very different view on things like sexual ethics, on things like what our entitlements are, what our rights are. And often there are direct attacks, aren't there, on Christians, people who believe in that fuzzy fairy God figure, the ridicule that often comes. You feel the tension as citizens of heaven when you acknowledge and realise how different the worldview is of those that we live among. And it's not surprising that there's a tension. I mean, fundamentally, we believe that there is a God, a big God, sovereign, ruling over all things, the one for whom we should live. And yet we live among a people who believe at best in a very small God, a small God that they can pull out of their pocket and ask favours of when in great need, or perhaps no God at all. Perhaps they believe, in fact, that they are God, that is sovereign over their own lives and able to determine what is right and wrong for themselves. People who pursue happiness above all. But that is not our calling as citizens of heaven. We're to live for the praise and glory of God. And so we're to live very differently, different priorities, different behaviour. And yet the tension is there, and I know you feel it. You must feel it. If you don't feel it, something is dreadfully wrong. So how do you handle it? What do you do with that tension when you find yourself feeling it, when you find yourself in those situations? What happens in your mind? How do you react in your behaviour? Let me suggest two false paths that we may often take or be tempted to take. One of those false paths is to join in with the world, to fit in. It's appealing, isn't it, to just join in with whatever is happening, to join in with the gossip, to join in with the complaining, to join in with the focus on worldly things, things that won't last, things that are of no eternal significance. Well, Peter addresses that false path in verse 11. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." Don't join in. Don't join in, and understand that joining in is actually jeopardizing your soul. That living the way of the world and joining in, showing your allegiance to the world, puts your soul in jeopardy. So don't take that false path. But as with all tensions, they pull in both ways, don't they? So one temptation is to join in. Another temptation is to opt out, to just separate ourselves from this world with its very different worldview and priorities and behaviours. To opt out of conversations when we hear a conversation that we could engage in and give a gracious Christian angle on, to just not go there, to opt out, to stay quiet, keep our head down, even to the extent of opting out of relationships with people who don't believe the same things that we do, who don't believe in the God that we believe in. But then how will they know? How will they ever come to know him or believe? See, we can't take that road either. We don't have that option to just opt out and live in our own small little ghetto community. And that's addressed in verse 12. Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans, among the people of this world, the citizens of this world, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Joining in, not an option. Opting out, not an option. What then? What should it look like? How can we deal with the tension that we live in as citizens of heaven, residents of earth? Well, Peter shows us a better way to live this out. Although I've got to say, you may not like it. And the reason I say that is because of the very first word in Peter's instructions, which is at the start of verse 13, where he says, submit yourselves. Submit is the fundamental word in Jesus' answer to how to live out the tension of being citizens of heaven while we live on earth. Now, that is an offensive word. You might know other words starting with S that you find offensive. This word, submit, I think, in the world's eyes, is much more offensive. Submit, the idea that we would submit ourselves, put ourselves under the authority, is the very thing that we rebel against in almost every sphere, isn't it? The individual heart rises up within us and says, no, I will not be governed. I will not be governed in any relationship. And yet, Peter's answer to how we're to live begins with this one very confronting word, submit. And that word sums up how we should relate to unbelievers on their home turf. In fact, we're going to come up against this word every week for the next few weeks because it keeps coming up. Have a look further down. Well, actually, we heard it read this morning, though we're not going there this morning. But verse 18, slaves in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Chapter 3, verse 1, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands. And back to today's passage, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. See, this is the biblical answer to how to live in relationship with unbelievers on their home turf. Being citizens of heaven doesn't mean we can just live by our own rules and thumb our noses at human authorities. Quite the opposite. And the reason for that is because we're not merely citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors of heaven. Just like we saw in the kids' talk. The way that those guys behaved, the kids could see it. I don't want to go to the place they come from, that first group. But the second group, yeah, I think I could live there. Those guys were acting as ambassadors. And everything we do, if we claim the name Jesus, represents him to the world. How we live reflects on our King. And it also commends our homeland to the world. And our hope, our prayer, as we commend him to the world, is that they might join us there as citizens. And those are both concerns that are expressed back there in verse 12, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We want people to glorify God, and our prayer is that they will do it in humble obedience and submission out of joyful hearts, that they too belong to the King of heaven. And so Peter says, for the Lord's sake, we are to submit ourselves to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now, obviously, our particular political structures don't exactly mirror those of the time. No emperors, governors that are easy to forget. We have elected representatives. But it's to those people that this applies, that we ask to submit to those who govern over us. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but come on. I mean, some of them aren't very good, and they don't do a very good job. I mean, what if For example, you know, what if the laws that they make are unjust? What if the laws that they make threaten our freedoms, particularly our freedoms as Christians? What if we're encouraged to be immoral through under the leadership of our earthly rulers? What if they make laws that forbid us to engage in key aspects of our faith? What if all these things? And they're good questions up to a point. And that point is if we are using those questions as a smokescreen to just dismiss those who rule over us. And I think that's often what we do. Where those what ifs really come from is our desire to ridicule and dismiss those who rule over us altogether. Now, it's a great Australian pastime, isn't it? To make fun of our politicians as if they're just kind of pretend paper people or something who are stupid and don't know what they're doing. But that's not how it should be for us. I think to help us get our head around how we should respond instead, it's helpful to go back to somewhere we were earlier in the year. Remember Daniel. Daniel was a man, and Daniel and his friends were people who lived in as outsiders, as exiles, as foreigners, under the rule of a different nation, different kings. You might recall the stories that they had to endure. At one point, a massive statue is made and they're told to bow down and to worship the statue. At another point, they're forbidden to pray to anybody other than the king. The interesting thing is that they didn't compromise on their allegiance to God. They were prepared to be killed to remain loyal and faithful to God. And yet neither did they disrespect their king. When you read the accounts of them appearing before their king, they are very respectful in the way that they speak. They don't try to run. They don't try to hide. They're willing to accept the punishment, the judgment that the king has decreed. But they're able to do it in a way that doesn't dismiss or disrespect or dishonour those who they believe God has actually put in power over them, in spite of all the what-ifs. I think Daniel's actually a really good example for us in terms of how we should relate to those who govern us. But there is a better example, and it's Jesus. Jesus, who lived on earth as the first citizen of heaven, who came and submitted himself. Did he not? Is that not at the heart of Jesus' life, that he submitted himself to all people? There was an episode towards the end of Jesus' life in the Garden of Gethsemane where the mob came to arrest Jesus. And Peter, out of a desire to protect his Lord, pulled out... Peter, who wrote this letter, by the way, pulled out a sword and went to battle for Jesus. He battled against those who came from the authorities and managed to cut off the ear of one of those who came to grab Jesus. But Jesus rebuked him for that. Jesus said, no, we're not going to retaliate. Jesus entrusted himself to God. He submitted to God and to his plans, and that meant submitting even to this unruly mob who came to arrest him. And no doubt, Peter remembers that. And he learnt from that. Peter understood now his place. So, in Acts chapter 4, you can read of Peter preaching the gospel in Jerusalem and being arrested for it. And of how he responded to that very respectfully to those who were ruling over him and who had arrested him. He said, okay, that's your judgment, but you judge for yourselves whether we should obey you or God. And he was thrown into prison. See, Peter walked the line. He lived in the tension, understanding that his behavior must mirror his allegiance to God who rules in heaven. But doing it in such a way that doesn't actually start a revolution or a riot or anything like that, that doesn't disrespect those who God has placed over him. What Daniel and Jesus both knew was that there is a good and just God who is working out all things in conformity to his will. All things, even when it doesn't look like it. There is a God who is sovereign over every ruler, over every election, over every representative who stands over us. And that knowledge enabled Daniel and enabled Jesus to do good at all times. It enabled them to submit to rulers, whether they were just or unjust. It meant that when their obedience to God was challenged, they could still put him first, regardless of the outcome. It meant that they didn't retaliate. It meant that they could humbly submit and leave the results in God's hands. And that knowledge can and should do the same for us today. Just like Daniel, just like Jesus, just like Peter who learned from his mistakes, just like Peter's readers, knowing who God is, knowing who we are as citizens of heaven means that we can submit to human authorities and do good in all circumstances. It means that we can stick to the speed limit, self-rebuke, knowing that it's better to be late than to show disdain for laws that are designed to protect the citizens of this country. It means that we can pay our taxes, and not only pay our taxes, but be grateful for the benefits that they bring to our community and be good at acknowledging those benefits. It means that we can join in with a working bee here at the school rather than whinge about the rent that we have to pay. It means that when we disagree with others about anything because they have a different worldview to us, we can do it with genuine humility and respect and a desire to understand rather than to ridicule or get angry. Have a look at verse 17, the end of the passage. It's Peter's conclusion to how we should live as citizens of heaven on this world. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor. We can show proper respect to everyone, no matter how wide apart our views are on things. We can love each other like family, as it says there, and so be a compelling community of unashamed do-gooders. Yes, even in Australia, we can live that out. We can put God first when our allegiance to him is challenged, showing that he's our ultimate authority and it's him alone that is to be feared. And we can honour our elected representatives, speaking well of them. That's countercultural. Speaking well of them and encouraging them to do their important job well. We're called to this as citizens of heaven, as ambassadors of heaven, to live these good lives, because they're good lives that will glorify God and that will even see some saved into his kingdom, added into his family, so that they can praise him when Jesus returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that following Jesus doesn't just mean eternal life and heaven when we die, but that the kingdom of heaven has begun, in a sense, that you have set up an outpost or many outposts of that kingdom here on earth called churches, and that there is a way of life that should characterize us as your people, that we've been called to represent you in the world, to show the world what love looks like, what love like Jesus looks like. We've been called to show the world what true justice and mercy look like and where to live that out together and also in our relationships in the world. We're above all to show the world who Jesus is Father, thank you for the call to submit, because we understand that's what Jesus did. According to your will, he submitted himself to everything and to everyone for your glory and that many might be saved. Father, please help us to remember that this is how we have become your people and therefore ought to be reflected in the way that we live as your people. Make us good citizens, Father, citizens of heaven, and therefore good representatives of you in our time on earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.